are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, November the 18th, and the Pistons' pathetic season continues. Rebuild talk begins anew again. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Where else would you rather be on a Monday than talking Detroit Pistons here on your favorite daily Detroit Pistons podcast? They were going to run down Friday's game. The ugly details from Charlotte. Where do we go from here to finish November? A little bit of big picture talk. We're also going to hit the Google voicemail line to talk Pistons defense with Andy from Ann Arbor. Give us a call on the Google voicemail line anytime, 810-666-1546. Share your thoughts. Pass along questions. Tell me something that's not about the Pistons so we can get our minds off of this team and this life and this Pistons Detroit sports world, everything that's going on, relentlessly throwing garbage in our face day after day as the joke has gotten sick that the gods are punishing us for my childhood, maybe at least with our teenage years with the Pistons and Red Wings and good Tigers years. And the Lions at least had some good players back in the day, but man, what a joke. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention some good stuff. First, Central Michigan Life had our 100-year anniversary over the weekend up in Mount Pleasant at Soaring Eagle, and of course, the subsequent trip to the Bird downtown in Mount Pleasant. Great to see everyone. And hopefully someone's even listening. Said, hey, Matt's doing a podcart or something. So we're going to listen to that about the Pistons. So welcome to maybe the one or two of you that I bumped into that are wondering what the hell I'm up to with my life. But great to see everyone. Share the stage with the great Terry Foster, who we've had on the show. CMU legend, giving a presentation about the sports over the years at CMU. Talking Dan Marley and Chris Kamen and all the good stuff. The Brian Kelly football teams and the 91 and 92 upsets of Michigan State, and also Evan Petzl joined me on stage. He's a current student. Give him a follow on Twitter, and you can find him there. A stud, a young guy who's going to be a really good reporter over the years. And, of course, the people that I went to school with, so great to see all those folks. Big names throughout the journalism industry, but also just great friends. In addition to that as well, so kudos to Dave Clark, the current advisor of Central Michigan Life, the school student newspaper up there, for putting together such a great event and a great time seeing all those folks. So, and also good times for the University of Michigan football fans out there with the big victory over Michigan State. Was able to listen to that and see the end of it and on the commute up to Mount Pleasant on Saturday. So good for Michigan to continue their strong season. Of course, their fans are now focused on Ohio State. I will be in Ann Arbor this afternoon checking out Jim Harbaugh's press conference and also some of the players' interviews for the Associated Press. And then the rest of my week, of course, Detroit Lions time. We can't get through a Monday morning without giving a little update on our Detroit Lions, who dropped another one, if you can believe that, to the Dallas Cowboys. A pathetic season continues for a team that, you know, do you clean house? It's obviously their questions are more about the general manager and coach. The Pistons, we're not there yet. You know, no one's talking about firing Ed Stefanski or firing Dwayne Casey, and nor should they be, of course. But the roster is the blow-up situation that the Pistons have to deal with, which is, you know, that's kind of the central questions of team building in the NFL, is more about the organization and the roster churn that those guys have to do, as opposed to rebuild questions, which deal more with roster and salary cap situations in the NBA. And, of course, the Red Wings going through a painful rebuild that at least you feel good when they get a couple of wins every now and then. And the Tigers, worst team in baseball, and really kind of no hope of good teams over the next couple years anyway. So good times here in Detroit sports. And those good times rolled on Friday as the Pistons lose at Charlotte 109-96. Malik Monk with a three-pointer at the buzzer that you just knew was going down right when he put it up. 4-9 for the Pistons, tied for 11th place in the Eastern Conference with the Atlanta Hawks and Chicago Bulls. Two teams also struggling early on. Pistons comically just two games out of the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference as Orlando and Charlotte are tied there at 6-7. On the flip side, the Pistons just one game ahead of the New York Knicks for the last place in the Eastern Conference. The biggest diagnosis, if we're the post-mortem, which we will do later on this season when it's all officially done, but man, when we talk about the reasons that this team didn't make the playoffs and the reasons that this team wasn't able to put it together, obviously the horrible start we're having right now, but 1-4 against bad teams right now. Atlanta, Chicago, Charlotte, Washington, losses to all those teams, and just the one win against the New York Knicks. Got to handle business against the shit teams out there, and the Pistons are not doing that right now. Despite a game on Friday with 32 points from Langston Galloway, who in a contract year, maddeningly so, has decided to resurrect his career for the Detroit Pistons, 7-for-11 from three. A three-pointer late that looked like it would have been the game winner, then until Andre Drummond's defensive boner tied the game. I'm so damn tired of Andre Drummond's dumb plays, especially late in games, leaving Monday to go double Karl Anthony Towns when he had no dribble on Blake Griffin in the post, leaving Andrew Wiggins for the dagger three. Of course, we've seen dumb fouls from Andre Drummond for a couple weeks now. He's in his eighth year. He's a veteran. He's looking for a big contract and certainly not things that we need and want out of our second best player and supposed franchise cornerstone going forward, and certainly not things that at 26 years old, I would argue an old 26 and eighth year in the league, certainly not things that you would expect to change at any time in the future. So it is what it is with Andre Drummond and just bonehead plays here and there for the leader of this franchise, or one of the leaders of this franchise, I should say. Speaking of leaders of this franchise, Derrick Rose, the turnover, throwing it away late, just throwing it into the stands there after driving, jumping baseline, and wildly just tossing it out to, you know, plays that you're told in seventh grade you can't make. And obviously Derrick Rose did that, and setting up for Malik Monk's big shot there. Derrick Rose late in games is something I'm not super excited about this year. Let's just say that. Carrying bad second units for stretches is what he should be doing, and what I'm excited for him to be doing. It's, of course, the Bruce Brown name comes up when thinking about these kind of conversations, and you know he's going to be faced with having some open shots and probably missing them late in games too. So there's probably no solution. Again, when you don't have five good players, that's going to be a problem, and you're not going to be able to figure out a way to make it work. Speaking of things that they're not figuring out a way to make work, Luke Kennard scored just 5 points in the return of Blake Griffin, his second game of the season. A concerning trend that we've seen with those guys, but that's something that feels workable. Two intelligent and very good basketball players should be able to figure it out, including a coaching staff that we respect quite a bit in some respects as well. Blake Griffin did have 19 points and 6 assists in his second game. I think he's had 19 in both games he's played. Andre Drummond, 16 and 20. The counting numbers are fine. Derrick Rose, 16 points. But the Pistons committed 19 turnovers. They have the worst points off of turnovers for opponents converted in the NBA. Good times there. 15 of 35 from three, 42.9%. Unsustainable in terms of that percentage, that they're still losing at 4-9, despite the fact that the shooting will level off at some point, which is another discouraging number. I mean, you'd think that it could be a very discouraging number or encouraging number to see your team leading the NBA in three-point percentage, but no, it's actually a bummer to me because you should be winning when you're shooting so well and you know it's going to slide back into the 30s at some point. But the Pistons back in action Wednesday against Chicago. We'll have time to talk about that over the next couple of days, and they are home for the Chicago, by the way, home for the Bucks tonight if you want to get a jump on taking a look at those guys. They have lost 5 of 7 since beating Detroit a couple weeks back. In the United Center, Pistons will be back in Chicago to play them, kind of a rematch of sorts. And another rematch coming up on Friday as the Pistons are going to be home against the Atlanta Hawks before going to Milwaukee for the second half of back-to-back at Milwaukee on Saturday. Just a bummer of a schedule when you look at the back-to-backs. A bummer of a season, let's just put it that way. So we're going to go big picture on that here in a little bit. That's coming up next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
Well, a little bit later on, we will hit the Google voicemail line and see what the postmortem is right now. And like I said, give us a call. If you ever want to vent some frustration, we love hearing from you guys, especially when it's a 4-9 team and there has to be some kind of positives. Maybe you want to have some fun. Call us on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-3776. 1546 and let it all out. We're here for you. It could be a little bit of therapy sessions here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Use the Google voicemail line. I prefer late nights after you've had a couple of drinks. That's when I think the Google voicemail line pops up the best. But Andy from Ann Arbor checks in with some thoughts on defense. He takes me to task a little bit about some thoughts that I had about this team and this vision of this team, which, by the way, talking about a bottom three defensive team in the NBA and kind of a surprisingly top 10 offensive team in the NBA. We talked about the shooting, how good they're doing shooting the ball so far. And obviously turnovers have been an issue throughout the entire season. A lot of guys, and Reggie Jackson probably being the biggest issue with that. The guy who kind of has the ball in his hands quite a bit, and Blake Griffin too, a guy who has only played two games out of 13, and the guys who have the ball in their hands the most for the Pistons and should for this roster, and guys being asked to do things that they can't do or won't do or just are not getting the job done in that respect. A little bit to be expected there. But, man, this 4-9 start, the big questions coming in with this team, the trades, the rebuild. It's just interesting to me because bit by bit I'm seeing some of you guys kind of fall off the wagon a little bit. And admittedly, there's a little bit of a strange dichotomy with this fan base here and with the listeners of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate all you guys, of course. But if you listen to a daily podcast about the Detroit Pistons, there's a little bit of a diehard aspect to you. Not a little bit, probably a lot bit. There's a lot of people that have just been folded out of this fan base in terms of the crap that this team has thrown out there for the past 10 years or so. So if you're still watching every game, if you're still listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, you're a bit of a self-selecting sample size here. So you've kind of become one of these people who probably believes in the direction of this team. You are full force ahead with this team, this version, this core group of players, this coaching staff. You think that getting to the playoffs is important. You're interested in the day-to-day machinations of getting to the playoffs this year, possibly even putting up a fight in the first round. You're probably realistic. I mean, you certainly know that this is not a playoff contending team, but you're thinking about things about maximizing this. But I'm just kind of seeing that of this group that we have kind of a falling off the bandwagon aspect of it, that even you guys are talking rebuild, talking about Blake Griffin, talking about Andre Drummond, the future of these guys, maximizing assets, the best way to develop the Sekou Doumbouyas of the world, and of course Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, and whoever else you want to consider as possible parts of this future. And so it's interesting because people who do not listen to this podcast, who may sometime listen to this podcast if the Pistons were on better days, or maybe watch this team night in and night out if there were a better product to watch, we'll call them potential listeners, potential Pistons fans. These folks listen to 97.1 The Ticket. They listen. They worship Mike Valeni and the negativity around this sports scene, which is obviously very easy to fall into and very relevant, and it should fall into to some extent. But so those folks out there have wanted a rebuild for a long time and think that the team is going nowhere in the direction of this franchise is aimless at this point. Now, to be clear, I've always been open to a rebuild, and I think I've said it many, many times. I talked about the need to look at Blake Griffin trade options this past offseason, realizing that his knee surgery probably had a little bit of a red light there from some teams. But getting Blake healthy, showing that he can do it more nights than not, and being smart about the workload, I think is the way to do it. Well, I mean, whatever happens from here until February, the trade deadline, this team is obviously trying to win, trying to get back into the playoff race, trying to get in position to get into that Eastern Conference playoff scene, which is very possible, and maybe not likely after a 4-9 start, but it's certainly very possible if you look at the rest of November. There's some chances to win some games here and get close to 500, you know, come mid-December or so, and that's the challenge of this team. If you don't want to be blown up, if you don't want to have this team take a new direction, which who knows deep into the hearts of a Blake Griffin if he would like to move on somewhere. I have some thoughts that I would assume that all this losing and all the things that are going on around this team, I would assume that at some point he's going to want to move on, probably as early as this year, given that you look around the league and say, man, there's not a team that is a clear-cut winner, and there's probably four or five teams or six or seven teams out west that might say Blake Griffin could really help us and really turn us into, from an also-ran or a fringe playoff team into a team that could really make some noise. Obviously, Portland being probably the biggest team in that discussion with a disappointing start there and a great backcourt and some players that could be enticing in trades and some salaries that could be moved. It seems like a perfect dance partner. We've talked about that on this show a little bit. We'll continue to talk about it too. Portland's a team we got to keep an eye on all season. The development of Anfernee Simons, the injury situation and subsequent return of Zach Collins, where their draft pick lands, how you feel about the Nas Littles of the world, those kind of trade possible pieces that could be involved with the Pistons and Portland swap. But, man, Andre Drummond, a huge issue to talk about in the future, a guy who's a pretty much a player who's on a expiring contract. That's not technically true because he has a player option for next season. I haven't ruled out the fact that he picks up that player option after kind of analyzing what the market might look like for a center. But certainly he has indicated that he would turn that down and seek free agency. I've talked about it last week a little bit. I want to let him go ahead and search out what he can search out. And if he wants to take a deep discount before it gets time to talk to other teams of like a three, maybe you get 4 years, $80 million, something like that. If he wants to go 3 years and take a little bit of less years, then maybe we could tack on a little bit more AAV, but give a little hometown discount. If he's not willing to do that, then let him see what's out there in free agency and be tough on these negotiations, because I don't think Andre Drummond is a max player. I don't think anyone in the right minds thinks that right now, but even a guy who's a $30 million a year kind of guy, I just don't see him being that guy. I'm just not crazy about investing in a plotting center right now who's on his way to 30 years old. I know that he's 26, he's young, and he should be approaching his prime right now, but for a guy who relies so much on athleticism, and commendably adds things to his game, commendably has added the ball handling, has always been a decent passer, and someone who, you know, is on Instagram working on the three-pointers, much to our dismay at times. But to his credit, professional in that way, professional in how he's prepared his body over the years. But the inevitability of big men getting injuries as time goes on, the inevitability that those will come in the coming seasons to a guy who, man, I don't see him playing effectively into his mid-30s, and he seems to be a guy to me who might drop off come 30 and even before, because like I said, you put that kind of wear and tear in your body starting at 19 years old, and on that body, I just can't imagine that he's a guy who's going to age extremely well in today's NBA when the fleetness of foot of centers becomes increasingly important, and Andre Drummond certainly checks those boxes right now, but I just kind of wonder in time as some things pile up how that's going to go. I think the Pistons, by the way, we always talk, and Dwayne Casey has even said stuff like this, where we talk about load management, we don't even think about that with Andre. I think that they need to start thinking about preserving his body, especially if they have long-term plans for him. That think about the minutes of Andre Drummond and the workload that this guy's getting, especially early on this season. Not wise, to me, just because he's been healthy, just to expect that would continue. And but maybe they have other plans for the organization and might as well just ride this train till the wheels fall off, and certainly there would be some merit to that kind of thing if you don't have them in your long-term plans. So something to kind of monitor there. But I have no doubt that this team will have a couple of good stretches this season, maybe even very soon, get some things figured out in these practice days that they have before Wednesday's game in Chicago, maybe win 4 out of 5 sometimes over the next couple months. But this hole right now at 4-9 is getting too big. In a part of the season where we knew the schedule was soft, a lot of winnable games, Pistons needed to not only be 500 come January and February, but be over 500, be in the playoffs firmly to have a chance to close out the season well when the schedule gets really tough come February, March, April, after the All-Star break, when the Pistons have the hardest schedule in the league based on off-season metrics. Obviously, those have changed and can change in time. But, man, it is not pretty right now. It is not good, and I want to hear your thoughts about what you think should be happening with this team. It's just not looking good right now, and I think that we need to talk about these big-picture discussions, and we will continue to do that here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. As sad as it is and as sad as this climate is for Detroit sports, as sad as the weather is here in winter, man, sad times, but we will be here with you commiserating and getting through it. But use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. Listening on the go, if you cannot visit MyBookie right now, you can find this and all other offers for Locked On sponsors at LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. Again, LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. Your list of all the goodies. Do your Christmas shopping there. And up next, we're going to check up on the Google voicemail line. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team, every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor, calling in response to your podcast on Tuesday following the, or I mean Wednesday following the Pistons loss on Tuesday. You mentioned the defensive woes of the Pistons, and I don't disagree with you there. You mentioned that the Pistons need to sort of adopt that old school defensive minded, defense first mentality. But I'd like to challenge you on that just because aside from like Patrick Beverley, who is known as like defensive stalwart throughout the NBA? Like, how could we construct a team of defense first guys given that, except for one, there isn't really anyone that's known throughout the league strictly for their defense? The league is very much geared towards offense, and I think that trying to develop a defensive first team is a recipe to get yourself in irrelevancy. Anyway, I'd like to hear more for what you'd say, specifically around who would be your ideal defensive team that would identify or that would exemplify what you want to see the Pistons be. Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate you, the continued dialogue. Good stuff. And keep it coming, everyone else. 810-666-1546. Real happy to get the regulars going here in the Locked On Pistons podcast, and wanted to make more of you some more regulars, some of you guys that call every now and then. And of course, we want to get the no callers out there to come on every now and then and drop in, and they become regulars, and then I just play your guys' phone calls all the whole show, and I don't have to do anything. That makes my life a lot better, so I appreciate that. 810-666-1546, the Google voicemail line. Andy's talking about Pat Beverley kind of being the primary one you think of as a defensive guy who's not much offensively, contributes his role a little bit with the Clippers there. But, you know, Rudy Gobert is another guy you might throw into that mix as well as a defensive guy. I think Marcus Smart is another guy. But Andy's right. I mean, there are no Tony Allens or Bruce Bowens in this league that much anymore who are guys who, although to the credits of the Bruce Bowens of the world, you know, stake your life defensively and then become a really good corner three-point shooter. So figure out a way to be offensively relevant. Figure out a way to be useful in some way. Have one NBA skill that you can do. But I think with Andy, what he was kind of challenging me about is the discussion I've had last week is that it's so frustrating watching this team be one of the worst teams in the NBA defensively. We can get over the fact that they're trying to figure out the times offensively and how to become a good offensive team, but to have a Detroit Pistons team struggle this mightily on the defensive end while being a bad team is really tough to watch for people like myself, who that's where you stake a claim on. I mean, it's not just like marketing campaigns. That's what you have to find a way to be something that separates yourself from the rest of the league. Obviously, if you're, you know, the easiest way and best and most effective way to do that is to luck into an Giannis Antetokounmpo and develop him and all that good stuff. And hopefully there's some diamonds in the rough that can be had over the years. And hopefully Sekou Doumbouya realizes is a ceiling of being a possible all-star years down the road or something like that. But short of that, what's your identity? You bring in Dwayne Casey, a defensive first coach. I just think that to play on the Detroit Pistons, there must be a baseline of defensive ability that you have. I'm talking about two-way players for the most part. And obviously every team in the NBA would prefer two-way players to the latter. But I think that guys who have that defensive DNA and have the defensive intelligence as well, it's a prerequisite to play on the Detroit Pistons. When you go out in free agency, there are players out there that are a large pool to choose from. When you draft in the NBA at any given selection on any given year, there are a DNA of players. There's a pool of players that you're selecting from. You aren't stuck with certain guys. The Pistons have flexible contract situations coming up with some of their key players and some of their possible centerpieces for the future. There are decisions that can be made. I'm just saying, when you go into a draft, and you should not be drafting or signing guys that have noted defensive limitations. And yes, I'm talking about a Luke Kennard type, who we all appreciate Luke's ability offensively. We appreciate the growth he's made. And I like Luke Kennard as a player. And I'm not saying get on the phone right now and trade him, but I'm just saying it's an example of you got a guy you like in Luke Kennard, you got a guy you like in Donovan Mitchell. We don't know if Donovan Mitchell is going to become a very good offensive player on draft night or not, but we know that he's a dog defensively, and we know that we want that on this organization. So take that pick. I'm not saying draft Matisse Thybulle because he's the best defensive player in the mid to late first round just because he's great defensively. I'm just saying don't take those guys who are in the bottom third of the draft pool in terms of their defensive possibilities. And same for free agency. Like, we like the reclamation project of Derrick Rose. We like the chip on his shoulder. We like those kind of things. Same can be said for Markieff Morris. We like the idea that Markieff Morris is going to get some technicals, is going to scrum it up with some people, and kind of reminds us of the bad boys in those situations. But those are not the type of players that I'm thinking about. Just because you have toughness doesn't mean you're necessarily a good defensive player. And I'm not talking about, you know, get a bunch of fighters out there and become the grind line or something like that. I know, I realize that defense and toughness in the NBA right now are a lot different than they were in the late 80s and early 90s when the bad boys were kings. But I'm just saying you have to have a little bit of a defensive DNA to play on this team and defensive abilities to play on the Detroit roster. It cannot be optional with this franchise. And, you know, there's guys on this team. Tony Snell is not very good defensively. Derrick Rose is bad defensively. Luke Kennard is bad defensively. Svi Mykhailiuk, we haven't seen a whole lot from him, but all indications are that he's probably pretty bad defensively. Langston Galloway is average defensively. Bruce Brown is the one guy who last year showed that he can be very good defensively. Hasn't been as good right now this year. Andre Drummond's been very good defensively, to his credit, which adds to the conundrum of the Andre Drummond future situation. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying guys have to show up with boxing gloves and shoulder pads. I'm just saying they have to have a baseline minimum of defense to play for the Detroit Pistons organization, to wear the red, white, and blue, and to represent this team. That's all we're saying here. On the Locked On Pistons podcast with your host, Matt Shook. Hey, we're going to call it a day today, and we'll be back first thing in the morning Tuesday talking more Chicago Bulls, moving on the narrative of this franchise going forward and getting through these tough times as Detroit sports fans together. So thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.